The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Hey, yo. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic on a Thursday. It's just ridiculously hot out there. I can't take it. People are at the Phillies game and people are going to the Eagles game tonight. Good Lord. I bring an ice bag or something. It's just stiflingly ridiculously hot out there. So if you're out there and you're listening to the show, how you doing? And if you're watching the Phillies game, we're going to remind you, if you're listening to the radio, remind the people that are watching the Phillies game on TV that we are on the radio and we're getting some fun things today. So while you're watching the Phillies game, you tune in to 97.5 The Fanatic because we're going to make the first hour a Philly type of theme. You know, we were talking yesterday about Tier 1 and Tier 2 actors. Unfortunate conversation with Tom Hanks where I was getting broiled on social media last night, and people were misunderstanding. I don't hate the guy. I just think he's a good actor, not a great actor. That's all I was trying to make the point yesterday. But we're going to do that with sports today. We're going to do tiers. We're going to do tiers for each of the teams, and then a tier for if you like to commingle them and push them together.
Okay.
So it's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so when you call the show today, I'm going to give you a player's name, and you got to tell me tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. We're going to do four tiers of Phillies players and so on down the line. Four tiers of Eagles players, four tiers of Sixer players, and four tiers of Flyer players. I don't know if we can get four. Maybe we'll do like two tiers for Flyers, or maybe three. I don't know if we can get that many players for Flyers.
We'll see.
We'll roll along with it. But anyway, today it's a big night for Eagle fans because you haven't seen football in a really long time. So this is like the new version of what the Eagles are. Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. I don't know how much Hurts is going to play, but it's going to be interesting to see this head coach. And he's not going to show a lot on offense, but just the new staff, what they're going to do defensively, what they're going to do offensively, kind of sets they're going to run. You're going to see a little bit of it. So I want to ask you, what are you looking for tonight? First game, what are you looking for tonight? I'm looking for Sirianni. You know, I'm not even looking at the players tonight because, you know, game one, you never know how long they're going to play. So you're not going to get much of a read on a player's talent. You may see a couple of plays they make. But I want to see Sirianni in the way he coaches this team and the way he goes with the flow. And, you know, this is his first venture in the NFL head coaching. He's calling the plays. He's got a system where he's going to relay a number to the offensive coordinator who relays it to the quarterback. I want to see, like, is he stuck in his chart? Or is he moving on the sidelines? Like, is he managing the game on his feet? Like, this is the most interesting thing for me to see the young coach, Nick Sirianni. Tyrone, are you feeling that, or are you looking elsewhere?
I'm looking at players. I'm looking at the coach, but I think there might be a couple of kinks, but that's what you can work out in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I need to see something from the quarterback.
You see Hurts.
And not just Hurts, though. I also need to see something from Rager.
Because so Jalen Rager is your guy you're focused on tonight.
He's a big one for me because everybody that, and we'll have obviously Timmy Manis on later, everybody so far has said that Watkins has been the best wide receiver. None of them have been great, but Watkins has been the best one with Devontae Smith obviously not playing. Last year's first round pick should be the best receiver. Mm-hmm. Now it's just practice there up until this point. In a game, I'd like him to show a little something because last year he didn't show a whole lot. And people can say it was because of injuries, and maybe it was because of injuries. But He dealt with some stuff in the offseason, some personal things, and I'm sympathetic to that. But apparently he's back. He's in shape. He should be ready to go. He should be able to make some plays in a preseason game and show why he was a first-round pick a year ago. Because I don't know how good this team can be if he's not – if Watkins is number two, I don't know how good this team can really be.
Yeah. All right, so there are two spins that we're going to get on the quarterback. Because you're right, the quarterback is really a player that we have to look at closely, and we're going to be evaluating him on almost every play and what he can do. And so there's a side of people that say Jalen Hurts is the bright light guy. Like, what he's doing in practice really does not matter. Like, when he gets in the game is where he shines and makes plays and shows his leadership, and he affects the game with his improvisational skills and his ability to get out of the pocket and run. So either we're going to look at this like, oh, boy, look what he does, or, oh, my, look what he doesn't do. And what he doesn't do is so far is to be accurate, throw the ball in tight windows and things like that. I know there have been some splash plays that he has made at training camp, but this is like the real stuff now. When you're running an offense, you have to be consistent in finding guys, dropping back in situations, delivering the football, rather than quitting on a play where it breaks down early and you don't hang in a pocket and you get out of there and you run. All that's good, and people are excited to see that, but that's not a winning formula. That's more than likely going to pull you down than lift you up. So basically that's what I'm looking for. So the other side of it is, like, he starts out, they use these plays that make him look good with the tight end, and they've been doing that in practice. So if they get the tight end involved and he moves him down the field, people are going to say, see, look, you know, look what he is. He's one of those guys that can get you down the field. Plus, he has that. On what side of the fence are you on that? What do you think will happen? If you had to look into a crystal ball, is he the guy that goes drops out of there when the play breaks down, or is he the guy who's going to learn to stay in there, deliver it, medium-range passes into a window?
I think the first series he's going to try to stay in there. If guys aren't getting open, then I think in the second series on, I think he starts to do what comes natural to him. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I guess we'll find out. But the more he runs, the more the fan base will like it. The more he runs, the less I'll like it. Because I know he can do that.
Yeah.
I know he can be effective doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But can he stand in there and throw it at the times where he has to? So I want him to stay in, but I don't think he will. That's where the Rager thing comes in. If the receivers aren't getting open, and they haven't been in practice, according to Tim, he's been better to the tight ends because the tight ends get separation. Well, they're talented. Yeah. So I think it goes hand in hand. Where you might be doing him, this team might be doing a disservice without Devontae Smith.
Yeah. And you're right with the wide receivers. I'm looking forward to, like, the Quez Watkins thing. He's flashed during camp. Now, this is the real game. We'll see if he can flash in a real game. And I would love to see that hookup to give you a little optimism that could be another feature of their offense, where he has chemistry not only with Devontae Smith, but with Quez Watkins. And that gives you a little dynamic 1-2 situation here. And defensively, listen, they're supposed to be better defensively. By all accounts, they are a little deeper defensively. So I'm looking at the depth on the defensive line. I'm looking at Barnett to see if he can outpoint Josh Sweat here. Is that a great camp? I'm looking at the cornerbacks that seem to be a lot better than they were last year. And I'm looking at the safeties that seem to be a lot better. So all that on paper seems to look better, and I'll be focused on that tonight, even though it's probably going to be a short period of time.
Yeah, and I'm excited that the people get to go. There'll be some energy in the building for the first time, even though it's going to be 1,000 degrees. Supposed to be like 93 at kickoff.
Yeah, right? It's, you know, people. I don't know if people, this could be a big walkout at halftime type of situation. You know, when the people that have already played, they're out of the game. Yeah. Is there really reason to stick around in 97-degree heat the second half? I wouldn't blame people if they got out of there.
No, me neither.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the tier situation today. So I'm going to go with the Phillies first. Phillies, of course, they're reeling after two losses, and the game is on right now. They're actually winning 1-0, so we'll update you on that. But I'm giving away 5 pair of FanFest tickets per hour. And all you have to do is participate and give me, I'm going to give you a player. You have to identify the tier. And I have my notions of who's a tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4. And if you match up what I think, you're going to get a pair of tickets to FanFest. Simple as that. Now, I got my tier one. We're gonna restrict it to 10 players a tier.
This is all time, or is this current?
Well, it's semi-current. Like, I'm not going to include the Chuck Kleins, the Richie Ashburns.
Okay, Chuck Bednarik.
Yeah, Chuck is not going to. No,
we're gonna, you're not yeah, going
we're
that far.
Keep it like, we'll keep it to the 70s on.
Okay, so like, you know, 50 years.
Yeah, like Robin Roberts with them. I know these are all-time greats, but we're going to try to keep it from the 70s on. People that we kind of have a familiarity that we've seen.
And all based on your opinion.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be my opinion. Like, if you can make a case like this person belongs in tier one.
Okay, that was going to be my question.
If you make any kind of a case, like, I have an idea who should be in tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. If you make a kind of case that this person should be in tier one or tier two or tier three, you're still going to be eligible for a ticket.
Okay. So good argument. Come with a good argument.
Yeah. If you come with a good argument and some substance to it, you get a pair of FanFest tickets.
Awesome.
All right. And
That's gonna be fun.
I'm doing the work for you because I'm going to give you the name of the player. All right. You just tell me a tier and, tell me why. And if it's like, if you go, I don't know, if you go Dave Hollins, tier one, that's going to get an argument. You know, he's not a tier one player. But if you go Dave Hollins, tier, I don't know, three, that you can make a case for something like that.
Yeah.
See where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right,
here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Again, tell your friends and neighbors. You know, we're not on the screen right now, but we still are on radio. And it's the Mike Misnelli Show. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What you're looking for tonight may be different than what we're looking for or what our next guest is looking for, because he's the man who's been there every day looking at this Eagle team. And so tonight something will play out that he's looking for. He is Tim McManus. He covers Eagles for ESPN.com, and he's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Football night in Philly tonight, Tim, and it's hot.
Hey, it's not exactly football weather here at the Link, Mike. I'm standing outside the stadium right now, and it is baking in South Philly.
Yeah, will this influence what he does, you think?
You know, I don't think so. I'm not expecting a whole lot in terms of seeing the first team. I mean, if the first series goes well and the offense is moving the ball, you know, that might be it for Jalen Hurts and the rest of that first team offense. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think it's going to impact it either way. We know that the organization has been trending away from exposing players in live action before the regular season. And so I think they'll try to get a little bit of work in, but either way, you know, heat or no heat, I don't think we're going to see a ton of the first team.
Okay. All right. So with the minimum of playing time, what are you looking for? What do you expect to see? What should we be looking for, even though he's not going to play a long time?
Yeah, I mean, all the eyes are going to be on Jalen Hurts. I think rightfully so. How this season goes is going to be largely dependent on whether, you know, he can rise to the occasion. And, you know, what Nick Sirianni wants from him is to see a little bit more efficiency within the structure of the offense. He wants to be able to see him play a little bit in rhythm. So what we know about Hurts so far, besides being a really good leader, he's got a good deep ball. He can obviously move with his legs and create on the fly, but, you know, how is his timing when it's the rhythm throws, when you just need to get it out in the space for your playmakers to make plays? I think that's been a central focus of theirs over the last week plus, and it's something that they're going to want to see out of Hurts in that limited time tonight.
Okay. I'm looking for a couple of matchup situations here. That obviously I want to see a lot of plays, and that's going to be short. But the Josh Sweat Barnett thing is going to be really interesting to me. You think those guys play with their hair on fire tonight, because they're in a tussle?
Yeah, I mean, they really have been. They've been switching in and out of the first team, and Sweat has really made a push for that starting job. I mean, if you want to crown a training camp champion to this point, it's probably Josh Sweat. I mean, he's been just dynamic and has made one, you know, pressure after the next. And it would obviously be a big boon for this defense if he continues, not just tonight, but heading into the regular season. I mean, the defensive line could potentially be a really big strength for this team. So yes, I'm looking for Barnett and for Sweat to both, you know, keep pushing during the course of however much action they get. And then, you know, some of the guys behind them, there's some rookies along that defensive front, you know, whether Teron Jackson, Milton Williams, guys who have shown some promise, and then they get a little bit of an extended look here tonight.
The defensive backfield last year, Tim, was a train wreck. And I get the impression it's a lot more solid and we're a little more comfortable with it this year. I mean, you've been out there watching them. You feel the same?
I do feel that way. And then, you know, there's always the one thing in the back of your mind, like, man, has the offense just been really bad and it's making the secondary look good? I mean, that's one thing where when you play different competition, it helps provide clarity. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, tonight against the Steelers is useful. How does that secondary look? But I would say yes to that, Mike. I think number one, Jonathan Gannon's system is going to be a little bit different, where there was a single high safety under Jim Schwartz, you're going to see split safeties more often, where you saw, like, basically the defense just line up and kind of just play vanilla. You know, Gannon is more elaborate in his looks and his disguises and is in the way of being multiple. And so that's something that I think has helped them. But Darius Slay has looked really good. You know, Steve Nelson has been pretty solid just jumping in, gets signed one day, is with the first team the next, and doesn't seem to have missed a beat. And then there's a little bit of depth, it looks like, that is developing, namely with Zach McPherson. He's had a very strong training camp for a rookie. And if that can continue starting this evening, then that's obviously going to be a very encouraging sign for that backfield.
Who are the backups that will be in there and hence probably play most of their game or more than the ones?
Yeah, so the starters, you're going to have Steven Nelson, Darius Slay, and Avante Maddox, and then it'll take over to the second unit. Zach McPherson will be leading that. You know, they're going to have to patchwork it a little bit because Craig James was in a walking boot. He's been injured. So it falls to guys like Elijah Riley and Kayvon Seymour. Josiah Scott has actually played really well in training camp. He's the backup slot right now behind Maddox, and so that's a guy to keep an eye on. And another guy by the name of LaVert Hill has made some plays in training camp as well, so he's worth looking at to see if that continues.
All right, talk to me about special teams, because we haven't really talked about special teams much. Who returns punts, who returns kicks tonight, how's their coverage been, all those kind of things. I guess we'll see tonight how their coverage has been. But what about the special teams? Are you feeling good about them or not?
Not really. You know, number one, this is a roster that isn't, you know, the most complete that we've seen. They're in a transition period, and oftentimes, you know, you're looking for your reserves to be some of your core special teams guys. And so they need to prove that they're up for that challenge. You have a first-time punter, really, in Aaron Sipos. He was with Detroit last year, but he didn't punt. He's never punted in a professional game. Jake Elliott kind of fell off last year. So he really needs to rebound. And you're right, they do have to figure out the return game. Jalen Reger has been doing a little bit in the punt return. We have seen, you know, Boston Scott back there. You're looking at a variety of guys, but I don't know how kind of like proven it is. And so that's something that you have to keep an eye out for. But one guy, you know, to me could help solve the problems if he makes the roster, and that's Jason Huntley, a running back. And he has flashed pretty brightly because of his speed. He's got like 4.3 plus speed, and that shows up, including at least from what we've seen in training camp in kick returns. And so I'd like to see a little bit of more of that tonight.
Okay. What else might be we not be counting on that you'd be looking at as an esteemed journalist who covers the team?
Well, certainly looking to see how that running back rotation plays out when we're talking about battles for the 53-man. When you have Kenny Gainwell, Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Jason Huntley, Kerryon Johnson, and Boston Scott, you wonder, like, who's going to be left off out of that group. Johnson might be fading a little bit here, and so it might be important for him, you know, to get going. Obviously, at the wide receiver position, Quez Watkins has been one of the big standouts, Mike. And if he can, you know, translate that into a game setting, that would be very encouraging for this team as well. And then at tight end, I mean, Tyree Jackson has really been one of the great stories so far this summer. He's former quarterback, 6'7". He's only been playing the tight end position since November and has really looked good. You know, out there, he's become a favorite of Joe Flacco over the middle, somebody who can catch it and can make plays after the catch. And so keep an eye on Tyree Jackson tonight.
All right. Sounds good. Football back in town, Timmy. Stay cool.
Looking forward to it, Mike. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. One quick thing before I let you go. We've been doing this thing called tiers. And so we're ranking an Eagles tier at like one tier, two tier, three tier.
Oh, he hung up.
Oh, he hung up. Oh, damn. Okay.
You weren't quick enough.
I was talking to an empty telephone line.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.